So we're starting from the bottom of Chof Vavlamid Beis, like the last line. And just from the topic that we're going to get to today is actually something that came up once when I did my rabbinic internship in Muncie. So it was in the middle of davening. And I mean, I didn't know these sources yet, but the main rabbi, just the rabbinic intern, the main rabbi there is quite a Talmud Chacham, and he knew these things. So so the alarm for the Aron went off on Shabbos. And they had, if I remember correctly, I should check this before I say, especially because I want you to, but if I remember correctly, there was a Nachri who turned it off. But then the question could be, does that somehow prevent us from opening up the Aron for the rest of Shabbos?
Because the alarm went off again?
Because the alarm was set at the time of Bein HaShemashos. And
so
since the alarm...
That makes it mukza, the...
So that's the question, perhaps. Because it would be usher to open it during Bein HaShemashos when the alarm would sound if I would open it. So then, even though later the alarm is set on a timer to go off, so it could be that it's still a problem, because during Bein HaShemashos it was mukza, I couldn't open it or the alarm would go off. So the answer is it's not mukza, but the question could be why, although I guess we have to get to that. So, but this did come up.
Why did the Nachri Goy in Modern Lingo turn it off? Was he directed to, or was he just simply came in and did it? Is a caretaker?
I don't remember well enough. If I had to guess, I would assume that he probably wasn't asked directly. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because there are two things when it comes to Amira Nachri, when it comes to not asking a Nachri or a Goy to do something for us on Shabbos. There's one isser of Amira, of asking him to do it, and there's another isser of benefiting from what he does. So when it comes to benefiting from what he does, so then as long as you're not getting a positive benefit, like in this case where you're just turning off a really, really annoying alarm, so it's okay in terms of that problem. But there's still the independent problem of asking him. That, what usually comes up more frequently is the opposite, that people think that it's okay to hint to a guy to do something for you. So sometimes that is okay and sometimes it's not okay, because hinting avoids the problem of the asking, but you still could have a problem of getting benefit from what a guy did specifically for you if it's a positive benefit. So then it depends what exactly he did for you. So I always wondered when it comes to the hotels, right? My assumption was that if you have a guy who opens the door, the electronic door for you, I'm not saying halachah masa because I don't know, but my assumption is that that's not a positive benefit because it's just the door is in my way and he's removing the door that's in my way and letting me in. But I still wouldn't be allowed to ask him to do it because that would be the problem of asking him. But if I hint to him, like I'm locked out of my room, you know, and then he does it, if I avoid the problem of asking him, and it's not considered a positive benefit, then it would be okay. I guess food for thought, you think it is a positive benefit.
Why isn't it a positive benefit if I get into my room and otherwise I can't?
Right. So the classic examples they give of positive benefit versus not positive benefit is if you have, let's say a light on in your room and that's disturbing you because you want to go to sleep. So if he turns it off, that's not considered to be a positive benefit because he's just removing the disturbance that was bothering you. So removing a disturbance isn't considered a positive benefit. How do you view opening up a door? So I could hear how you could argue that either way. Again, I'm not speaking halacha masa because I don't know. But my guess was that that's more removing the impediments that you can get into your room. But I don't know for sure. I do know when it comes to opening...
This is all hinting. You can't ask direct.
Exactly. You can't ask direct. Right. Because that's a separate problem of asking direct.
I think Laser once gave a shear... He basically said that you can't hint. That's in the same category. I think he was talking about an elevator door, for example, take you up to your room.
Uh-huh.
Well, how directly, like what I did once, and I didn't ask anybody about this, I went and I told the receptionist that as a Sabbath observer, I can't open the electronic doors and I can't, you know, even ask someone to do it on the Sabbath. So the person right away said, well, no problem. Every time we see you come in, you know, I'll send somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Right, so that would sound like, and I don't know for sure, but that would sound like it would be okay because you're not... And you're not asking him, you're hinting to him. There are different levels of hinting, meaning they talk about an expression, anyone who does this won't lose. My kolha, you know, anyone who does this form of malacha for me won't lose, by which you're hinting to the nachri that, you know, he'll benefit by doing it for you. So that's one level of hinting. And then there are other levels of hinting which are viewed as less than that. I don't remember well enough, so I don't want to say for sure. But there are different levels of hinting, some being more problematic, some being less problematic. But if it's a sufficiently minor hint, so you're not considered, you know, telling him, so that avoids the problem of the amira l'nachri. And then there's a separate problem of benefiting from his malacha if it's a positive benefit. And then the question is just what becomes a positive benefit.
I heard if you pay him,
okay,
and he knows that in advance, then it's permitted.
Uh-huh, okay. In terms of where there's no positive benefit or where there is a positive benefit?
Regardless.
It doesn't matter. It's just that
if it's prearranged, you're not hinting, mm-hmm, you're not doing anything,
right,
he sees you.
Mm-hmm. You'll give him a big tip, or you, mm-hmm, you mention specifically the amount that you'll, mm-hmm, give him. He's incentivized. And
so he's doing it for himself.
Benefit.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a discussion I heard once about what's the problem of amira l'nachri. There are two different ways you could understand the problem of amira l'nachri. Is it that that the nachri is your shriach, so to speak, even though midaraisa, a nachri can't be a shriach for a Yisrael, midarabanan we say a nachri could be a shriach for a Yisrael, or is it the problem that by asking someone to do a malacha, so that's sort of, you know, taking the kavod of Shabbos lightly. So the nafkamina that they say between those two reasons is what if, let's say, you asked him to do it before Shabbos, and he did it on Shabbos, or you asked him on Shabbos, and he did it after Shabbos. So if you say the problem is he's your shliach, it's all dependent on when he does the malacha. But mm-hmm, if you say that it's based on the speech, when you verbalize asking him to do the malacha, that's considered decreasing from the honor of Shabbos. So then if you asked him before Shabbos, so that wouldn't be a problem because you asked him before Shabbos. So those are two different ways of looking at it. And, you know, I guess that would be relevant to this discussion also. So.
There's a third aspect to this now.
Okay.
Now that Rabinovich of Malei Adumim has said that you could actually open those doors, having a goy do it for you, if you already have a heter to do it without the goy, is not as much of an issue anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Since there is on Migli Smoch that you can do it yourself.
Uh-huh, interesting. What goes on? There's no electronic. What isn't there electronics?
It reduces the magnetic pull on the door.
Okay.
And so it's not, depending upon, mm-hmm, the way I understand it and the way, mm-hmm, his heter works is you're not actually turning something on and off. You're,
uh-huh,
reducing the pull versus turning something off.
Interesting.
It's not a switch.
So he has a heter for that, and if you already have a heter that you could have done it,
uh-huh,
to hint to a goy to do it.
I hear. And is that assuming there's no light? Like, I've seen somewhere there's like a green light that lights up. No?
Yeah.
That's assuming there's no
I'm
light,
I'm not
I
sure.
Guess. Okay.
That may be
a secret.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I heard from Rabbi Polakoff from Baltimore, Olashon, basically said if you lock it out so you don't see the light, then it's permissible.
Really?
No.
Have sick ratio to Lonicha, right?
I have no idea why, the basis of that. But.
It's probably because he's assuming it's a sick ratio to Lonicha, but you probably need an additional factor to combine with that. Maybe something like a Tzorach Shabbos or a sick ratio to Lonicha, right? Interesting. Okay, fine. So we had like a whole pre-Chavrusa before even starting. Mm. Good.
Right.
So says the Gemara, the bottom line on Chavarim Beis. So Tashma, again, Amar Bizeira, Tashma, we're still trying to prove whether or not Yesh or Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. So Tashma Mipulin V'Adashim. So we want to bring a proof from beans and lentils. Tapulin V'Adashim, Me'ikara Chazu Lachos, meaning we're talking about when you want to cook them on Yontif. So before you cook them on Yontif, so you could have, chewed them, you could have eaten them raw. But Shadidu Bikadeira, then on Yontif, if you put them in the pot to cook, so Idhulahu, so now you can't eat them while they're being cooked, right? They're in the pot. They're not, you can't eat them while they're boiling hot in the pot. Gamar Bishulayu, once their cooking has completed, Chazulahu, then you can eat them again. So from the fact that you can cook lentils, you can cook these beans on Yontif, and even though when they were in the pot, they were unusable, but once they're cooked, you're allowed to eat them. So we see, Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, even though it was unusable for a time, it becomes mutter once it's usable. So Amar Abaye v'letameich tikshi lach kederos ta'alma. According to you, so we should be.
But you can only cook them on Yontif.
True.
So this is more a muksa Yontif than a muksa Shabbos.
Right. This application is only that's true. This application is only relevant on Yontif. I had assumed, although I wasn't paying enough attention throughout
so
this sugya, but I
had a lighter level of muksa.
Uh huh.
I'm just don't know if it's a good analogy.
No, I hear that. I mean, there's also a svara, you probably know better than me, but I think there was a svara at the beginning of Beitza, Da Beis or Gimel or whatever it was, to say that on Yontif we should be more strict, because since we're more lenient with regard to other things, that it could be when it comes to Muktzah on Yontif we're actually more strict. Like, even if you hold that Nolad won't be as strict on Shabbos, you'll still hold that Nolad will be very strict on Yontif. There was such a svara. I don't remember the details of it, so I don't know if I could apply that here. But I hear what you're suggesting. You're suggesting that maybe this is only a proof. Ein muktzel chatzi Shabbos for Yontif. That maybe Shabbos, which is more strict, maybe then we wouldn't say muktzel chatzi Shabbos. Okay. And that was it. Welcome back. So fine. So I hear that. I guess that would depend on that. I have to review the sugya at the beginning of the first parak about when Yontif is more, even though Yontif in general is more lenient, sometimes when it comes to Muktzah we're more strict on Yontif, but I don't remember all the details of that. Fine. So
the only way you might apply is if you cook them before Shabbos, but they were still in the pot and they were too hot to eat, but I don't think that would...
Uh-huh. Well, that would tie into what the Gemara is now going to say to sort of reject this proof. Meaning the Gemara wanted to prove from a case which is, as you're pointing out, only... you wanted to prove from the fact, from a case which is, only relevant on Yontif, of, right, because only on Yontif you can cook, and we wanted to say that you see Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, and then the Gemara is going to reject that based on a case which, we have every Shabbos. So just taking a step back, we're talking about the sugya is Yesh Muktzah or Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, and we wanted to bring a proof from the fact that on Yontif you can take food which is edible, you can put them in a pot and cook them, and during the time that they're being cooked on Yontif, you obviously can't use them. They're not edible while they're being cooked, while they're boiling hot in the pot. And after they're done being cooked, so then you're allowed to eat them. So you see, Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, that even though it wasn't usable for a time, once it becomes usable, so it's mutter. So the Gemara rejects that on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, the top one. Yeah.
Why wouldn't that apply to everything you cook on
Yontif? It's about to say that.
That's what the Gemara is going to say.
That's the next line.
Right. Yeah, good point. So Amrei Abaye v'letameich tikshilach kederos da'alma. So according to you, we should ask by anything that you're cooking. Dehastam kederos da'alma ben hashmashos roschos hein. So anything that you're cooking on a regular Shabbos. So at the time Shabbos began, it was boiling hot. It was sitting in the pot and it was not edible. Lu'urtach inan minayu. And then later Friday night, you say we eat from it. So why is that allowed? We should say migo diskatzayil ben hashmashos diskatzayil kol yoma. So rather it must be ela gamro bidei adam lo kami vayalan. We were never asking about a case which is gamro bidei adam, where a person has it in their hands to make something usable again, like these pots which are boiling hot ben hashmashos. If a person wants to make them usable, he simply takes them off the fire, and after 60 seconds or however long it takes, it cools down, and then they're usable. So then it's not mukta. Our only question about Yesh or Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos is in a case where a person does not have it in their ability to make it usable. Like our case, the classical case here is you leave these the fruits, on the roof to dry, and then it rains on Shabbos. So once it rains, so it's no longer usable for that portion of Shabbos when it was sopping wet, and then the sun comes out and dries it, and now it's usable again. So that's the question of Yesh or Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, and there the person doesn't have it in his hands to bring out the sun to cause the fruits on the roof to dry. So in a case where a person doesn't have it in their hands to make a mutter, that's when the Gemara has a question of Yesh or Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. But in a case where the person has it in their ability to make it usable, then we don't even consider it to be Muktzah for the time that it's unusable, because they just could take it off the fire, let it cool down for 30 seconds, and then it's fine. So that's the Gemara. So there's a machlokes between Tosfos here and Tosfos and Shabbos with regard to a case of where a person took a basket and turned it upside down so that the chickens or whatever could climb on it. It was an activity for the birds. So Tosfos here says on our daf of Zayin Amud Aleph, El gamru bidei adam lo mibayalan vim tomar amai ein mochiach mehahi de kofenes asal lifnei ha'efrochen. Why doesn't the Gemara bring a proof from the case where you turn over the basket for the birds, Kadesh Yahu v'yerdu, so that the birds can climb up and climb down on top of this basket? I guess it's fun for birds to play on a basket. The Ka'amar, it should say mutter l'taltalo. Those are how that changes l'taltalam to l'taltalo. That it's mutter after these birds, climb off of this basket, you're then allowed to use the basket. Perish achar sheyerdu, after the birds climb off the basket, mutter letal tel hasel, you're allowed to move around the basket. The basket is not mukta. Ach al pishaya aser kisha aluha efrochim ala b'chatzi hayom, even though at the time that the birds were on the basket, it was aser to move the basket, because you're not allowed to move the birds. The birds are mukta, and the basket becomes a basis l'davar aser. Alma, but after the birds go off, you're allowed to move the basket. Alma ein mukta l'chatzi shabbos. So we see ein mukta l'chatzi shabbos. Even though it was mukta when the birds were on it, once the birds go off of it, it becomes mutter. So that's Tosis's question. So Tosis gives two answers. Answer number one: v'yesh lomar d'shani hasam to have a kimo gamro bidei adam. That's a case of gamro bidei adam. Shabi yado l'hafricha mi'alav. The person could shoo the birds off the basket and make the basket mutter. Tasharina and Kedelos, Afagav the Benash Mashos Rose Hosein, as our Gemara proved, that the Gamru Bidei Adam is mutter, that the pots that are cooking, the food that's cooking for Shabbos, it's mutter, even though during the time of Benash Mashos it wasn't usable, because Gamru Bidei Adam, so too, by the birds on the basket, so since you have the ability to shoo away the birds, so it's considered Gamru Bidei Adam and it's mutter. Tosis gives a second answer. The Gemara over there in Shabbos was talking about moving the basket. The Gemara knows that ein mukta l'chatzi Shabbos when it comes to the mukta that would prevent us from moving things around. If something was unmovable for a time on Shabbos, we know that once it becomes usable again, you're allowed to move it. Our whole sugya here is only with regard to the fruits that are drying on the roof, whether or not we say that they're mukta l'chatzi Shabbos, and therefore we also to eat them afterwards. In other words, it's more chomer when it comes to wanting to eat something which was unusable for a time than it is when it comes to just moving it around.
So this clear roof is not because the food isn't prepared, it's because it's boiling and we can't use it
at the time. I think so, yeah, because we're comparing it to the case of the beans and the lentils, which we said you could have chewed even while they were raw, and then when you put them in the pot, then they're unusable. Yes, I'm assuming the food that we're talking about is not raw.
Just because it's boiling, you can't put your hand in there and take out the food.
So you can't put your hand in there and take out the food, exactly, but you could take it off the fire and wait for it to cool down, and therefore it's gomro bidei adam. But right, if it was something which was entirely unedible, then it might not be considered gumro. Oh, that would be interesting. Would it be considered gumro bidei adam? At that moment, it's not gumro bidei adam, but it probably still would be considered gumro bidei adam because you anticipate the fact that you're just going to leave it sitting there. The truth is, I'm just thinking as I'm speaking, you'd probably have a different problem of shehiyah. Meaning, if we avoided the problem of shehiyah.
Yeah, I'm supposing it must be, because it's supposed to be
right, so. Right, exactly.
Well, that's the Rabbanim, but certainly.
Right. True. Yeah, and I think that's necessary for the point that you're making for the halachos of shehiyah. But in terms of halachos of mukta, in theory, it would be probably still considered gamro bidei adam because you anticipate the fact that it's going to become usable, even though right now it's not usable per se. It's not a question of taking it off the fire, but you anticipate that it'll be cooked in another half an hour. So probably within the rules of mukta would be okay, but as you're pointing out, within the rules of shehiyah would not be okay. Yeah, fine. So that's Tosis here in Beitza. Tosis's first answer is that this case of the birds on the basket is considered to be gamro bidei adam, because you could shoo the birds off the basket, so it's not considered to be mukta. So Tosis and Shabbos.
You know, the cool one, in other words. We're saying that tiltu is, there's tiltu, there's no mukta, so something that comes us or can tiltu mesh in the middle of the day. Only a tilu that we're worried about.
Yeah, that was the second answer, yeah.
That's a big, it's a big kula, no? That's right.
Yeah, because it takes our entire sugi about Yesher Ein Mukta L'chatzi Shabbos and says that for sure it's Mutter B'Tiltel. Now it happens to be that, I think if I remember correctly, and you always usually remember a lot better than I do, but I think we said that we paskin Ein Mukta L'chatzi Shabbos. Right, so if we pass in Ein Mukta L'chatzi Shabbos, then we're going to be safe anyways. But you're right. The whole sugya, even if we would have said Yesh Mukta L'chatzi Shabbos, it still would have only been about eating. So you know, we're lenient for multiple reasons. We can move things because that was never the discussion in the first place. And it turns out that we even pass in Ein Mukta L'chatzi Shabbos, then would even be Mutter B'Achila.
Couldn't you cook it the whole thing from raw to cooked steak on Yom Tov, period?
Entirely? Yes. Yeah.
So, why is this an issue?
We do say that that it's gamro bidei adam, so it would be mutter. What do you mean?
Because if I take a raw food that before Yom Tov wasn't edible,
right,
and I just cook it for Yontif.
Right.
There's no issue with that.
Right, that's true, because that's going to be the other.
But there is an issue if I start cooking it in a shmushes, and it then becomes a period of time on Yontif when I can't eat it, and then I can eat it.
In the Gemara, they basically started off with the question of the beans, and then they said it's not really a question because any kthera would be exactly what you're saying, Alan. It would be an issue of cooking, and therefore the question wasn't a real question. Because anything on Yom Tov...
How do you respond to that, though?
No, I think...
Well, that was our response.
It doesn't become mukzah. Just because it's too
hard. It said it wasn't a real question. Right. When it asked about the beans and everything else, it wasn't a real question.
Right, meaning our Gemara said that that's not a question, because if that was a question, then we would never be able to, you know, eat anything that we started preparing from before Shabbos or Yom Tov. So it must be that it's not a problem, because it's Gamro Bidei Adam. Yeah. So,
I mean, Tosha's entire response has nothing to do with cooking.
Right, Tosus is sort of discussing a tangent here. Why doesn't the Gemara bring a proof from the case in Shabbos that Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos? Meaning our Gemara brought some proofs trying to figure out whether Yesh Muktzah or Ein Muktzah, and Tosus says, I have an additional proof that the Gemara didn't bring. How come the Gemara didn't bring the proof that it could have brought from the case of the birds on the basket, from the fact that when the birds go off the basket, the basket becomes Mutter, so it must be Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. And Tosfos rejects that for two reasons and says the Gemara could not have brought that as a proof because, first of all, that's also a case of Gamro Bidei Adam because I could have shooed the birds off the basket. And second of all, there all the Gemara says is you're allowed to move the basket. You're obviously not eating the basket. And Arsug, you have Yesh or Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos is about whether or not it becomes Muktzah to prevent you from eating it. But for sure, it would be Muktzah to move it. And all the Gemara says over there in Shabbos is that you're allowed to move it, so it doesn't really help us for Arsug.
That whole bird thing. Is that, well, that's on Shabbos, right? I mean, isn't he bringing a raya from a case on Shabbos?
Yes.
To prove something for Yontif.
Well, the sugya of Yesh or Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos is true both on Yontif and on Shabbos. It's just there could be certain applications which would only apply in one or the other. Meaning, the case of cooking, of course, only applies on Yontif, because you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos.
Right.
So that was a proof which only pertains to Yontif, but the sugya in general applies to both Shabbos and Yontif, and Tosfos thinks that the Gemara, Tosfos asks that the Gemara could have brought a proof from a case of Shabbos, from the birds on the basket. So Tosfos' first answer is that the case of the birds on the basket is considered Gamro Bidei Adam because you could shoo away the birds. So Tosfos and Shabbos disagrees with that. So Tosfos, the first source on the sheet, says, "Be'odan alav kol bein hashmashos." So the Gemara there says that the basket is going to be muktzah. And the Gemara wants to know why. And the Gemara says that the birds were on the basket for the entire bein hashmashos. So again, Tosfos is talking about it. Tosfos by us, in Beitzach of Zion, is talking about bringing a proof from a case where birds climbed onto the basket in the middle of the day. And that's relevant to Yesh Muktzah or Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. The Gemara there in Shabbos is talking about the case of the birds on the basket, but a slightly different case where the birds were on the basket for the entire Bein Hashmashos. So the Gemara there in Shabbos says if the birds were on the basket for all of Bein Hashmashos, so the basket is going to be Muktzah for all of Shabbos. So Tosfos there in Shabbos asks, Tema, Hakevan de Biyado Hafricha Mumata, since you could always shoo away the birds, have a Gamro Bidei Adam. So it should be Gamro Bidei Adam. Like Tosfos' answer in our Tosfos in Beitza. Right? V'reislam l'meimar migo diskatzei l'bein hashmashos. And since he could have shooed away the birds, and therefore it's Gamro Bidei Adam, so we should not say migo diskatzei l'bein hashmashos. So why does the Gemara in Shabbos say that the basket becomes mukta for all of Shabbos? We should say that it's mukter. Asked, how can you say Yesh Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos Vapulin Vadashim Ar Gemara, the beans and the lentils, the mevashlim b'yontif that you cook on yontif, d'mei kara chazu rachos, that originally you could have chewed them, kishadinu b'kadera, you put them in the pot, chaisa, you put them raw in the pot, ilchu l'hu, so now you can no longer eat them because they're in the pot, gomar b'shurayi, when the cooking is completed, ishtru l'hu, they become mutter. Right, that was Rabbi Zeira's proof that ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. So amar le'abaye, and abaye, and our Gemara said, v'litameich tikshirach kaderos da'alma, right, if that's the case, so then all the pots we're cooking for Shabbos should be muktzah, da'kaderos, de'shabbos, b'nashmashos, rosh chosein, Urtokafin on Minayu, they're boiling hot during Ben Hashmashos, they're not edible because they're too hot, and at night we still can eat from them. El Gamro Bidei Adam, O Kami Bayalei, Ki Kami Bayalei, Gamro Bidei Shamayim. Rather, the reason why the beans and the lentils and the pots cooking for Shabbos are not Muktzah is because they're all Gamro Bidei Adam. So Tosfos asks in Shabbos, why do we say that if the birds are on the basket, all of Ben Hashmashos, that the basket becomes Muktzah for all of Shabbos? We shouldn't say that, because you could shoo the birds away, and it's Gamro Bidei Adam. So Tosfos answers the Yesh Lomar the Shani Kedelos Imavet Sarich Luhu Bein Hashmashos Haya Mekararon. So when it comes to the pots that you're cooking for Shabbos, if you wanted to, you could always take them off the fire, allow them to cool down during Bein Hashmashos, and they'd be usable. So therefore, they're Gamro Bidei Adam. V'chein Pulin V'Adashim, the beans and the lentils, Ritzono Sheyiz Bashku B'lo Shum Dichui. You want them to cook as quickly as possible. And it's a little unclear what he means by that sentence, but we'll just finish and then we'll say how they usually explain this. Here, the person wanted the birds to climb on the basket. That's the whole reason why he turned over the basket for the birds. So for that time, he designated the basket, as being used for the birds. Since it was muktzah during Ben Hashmashos, it becomes muktzah for all of Shabbos. So the way this is understood, and we'll see later the way the Orchot Shabbos understood it, the way it seems like the Be'er Halacha is going to understand it, that we're going to see in a minute, is that we don't say the principle of Gamro Bidei Adam if the person intentionally set something aside to be used for a mukta purpose. Meaning, Gamro Bidei Adam is the pots on the fire, so if I wanted to, I could take them off the fire and let them cool down. Why did I put the pots on the fire? Not per se because I wanted the pots on the fire. Wow, that's a great place for a pot on a fire. No, that's not the reason why. It's I wanted to cook as quickly as possible. I just know that it won't cook unless it's put on a fire. But when I overturned the basket for the birds, so my intent was to set aside the basket for the birds. It's not like it was a preparation for something later. It was like that's the end goal, so that the birds will use it. So I put it out of my mind, I designated it for that mukta purpose to be used for the birds. Masha in Cain, cooking the pot, it's not like I specifically designated the pot for use of sitting on a fire. I want it to be cooked. It's just in the meanwhile I need it on the fire. So I guess there are two ways to
it's very hard to understand that. I mean, it's not very hard, but you turned over the basket. There's certainly your toilet for a person to have food burning on the fire in its rushes. I mean, it's going to be nice and warm when everybody comes home from shul and has a nice, nice Shabbos meal. So it's not like that wasn't the goal. I mean,
right, but that's, I think the difference is that's a preparation for a later stage. That's not primarily what you want. Meaning, when I designate the basket for the birds, I want the basket to be used by the birds. I'm designating it for a muktzah purpose. Masha Ein Kein, I'm not designating the pot for a muktzah purpose of sitting on the fire. I don't want the pot on the fire. I want to eat it as soon as possible. What was the Tosis's lashon? Ritzono she is bashlu below shom dichli. I really just want it to get cooked as quickly as possible. It's not like I want to set it aside for that mukta purpose. It's just, I know that the only way I can eat it is if it sits on the fire. It is. It's a nuanced difference.
True. Steph, if you were able to cause the food to cook by magic, right, you do it that way. The pods is the only way you get the food to cook. It's the food right that you want. It's not the pods. There you want the basket.
Right.
Why do you want the basket like that? So that
you, the birds don't want it. Yeah.
So make the birds happy.
Yes.
If you can make the birds happy, the basket, you would do that.
Make me happy by cooking the birds, but okay.
Do both. Put the birds in the basket in the pot.
Or cooking the lentils.
Yeah, but then they won't need the basket once you've.
If I have a piece of raw meat in my fridge.
Okay.
And then it's inedible without being cooked. Does that mean it's muktzah on Shabbos? Or maybe Yantif?
Shabbos is more of a problem.
Yeah, Shabbos, because Yantif maybe because I'm going to use it on Yantif. But on Shabbos where I can't use it on Shabbos because it can't be cooked, does that make that piece of raw meat muktzah?
Yes, an ochel on.
See, the thing is, I think there's an idea of eating raw meat. So we would never do that. But I think the Gemara sometimes has an expression. What?
Sometimes Something machel dersai.
Machel ben dersai. It has to be, you know, like a third cooked or a half cooked as a machokas as to when it's, you know, really considered edible. There's an idea, though, of eating an umtsa, which is sort of like a piece of raw meat. I don't want to say alchomasa because I don't know. I thought that it was not mukta because in theory it's edible, but I could be wrong about that, so don't listen to what I'm saying, halachomas.
No, but I've never heard anyone suggest that raw meat sitting in your fridge is mukta.
Right, so I think it's not because in theory it's edible, meaning even if it's frozen, you could take it out of the freezer and it'll soften and eventually, that's gomro bideodam. To cook it to make it mutter, that's not gomro bideodam on Shabbos because you can't cook it on Shabbos, but I think in theory there's an idea that you could eat it raw. So I think if we took for granted that you couldn't eat it raw, then I think in Hachanami that would make it mukta. But I thought that it's not mukta because in theory you could eat it raw, but, you know, I'm scared to say anything. I'm saying why you told it, you know, I don't know for sure. But, fine. So anyway, that's the difference that Tosas draws. So whereas Tosas and Beitza says that the Gemara in Beitza doesn't bring this case of the birds on the basket because it's not relevant because it is Gamro Bideyadam. Tosus and Shabbos says that it's not Gamro Bideyadam because of this distinction. Are you specifically designating it for a mukta purpose? In which case, we would say that we would not apply the leniency of Gamro Bideyadam. Or is it just that this is what's necessary to get as a preparation to, you know, what you want to get to, like the pots on the fire? And then we would say Gamro Bideyadam. So based on that distinction, so the Be'er Havacha here in Source 2 uses that reason to explain why a candle is mukta even after the flame goes out. I mean, you could argue, why is a candle mukta after the flame goes out? While it's burning, so it's mukta because the flame is mukta because you're not allowed to put out the flame. So that the flame is mukta. The candle is mukta because it's a basis, l'davar ha'asar, it's a base for the flame. Once the flame goes out, why can't I move around the candles? You should argue, in theory, that it's gomro bideodam. I knew that the candle was going to go out. I expected it to go out. It's not like the fruits on the roof where I don't know if the sun is going to come out and dry up the fruits or not. I expected the candle to go out, so it should be mutter based on gomro bideodam. So the reason why it's not mutter is because we don't say gomro bideodam because of this reason of Tosos, that the person specifically wanted the candle during Bein HaShemashos to serve the function of being a base for the flame, and since he specifically designated it and set it aside for that mukta purpose, we don't apply gomro bideodam. So let's just see that inside. The Be'er Halacha says, Dero dami remeniach even al pi achavis. Sorry, I didn't realize I would have given it to you earlier. Dero dami remeniach even al pi achavis. So it's not comparable to leaving a stone on top of a barrel. The sham wada sefer hatruma, dero naase basis. So the sefer hatruma says if you leave the stone on top of the barrel doesn't become mukta, it doesn't become a basis. Because yiboi menoya bebein hashmashos gufo av rois katsoi kal. If I wanted to, I could have shaked the barrel. I could have shook the barrel during Bein HaShemashos and the stone would have fallen off, so it's gomro bideodam, and it never became mukta. Masha ein kein b'ne'er lo shayach zeh, you can't say that by a candle, the hatzorech lo b'raila, because you need the candle at night, the ne'er b'shabbos chova, there's an obligation to have the Shabbos candles, so therefore you specifically designated the candle to serve that purpose. Umigo diskatzoy lo Bein HaShemashos diskatzoy lo kula yolma. In other words, we don't say gomro bideodam by the candle that goes out, even though I knew it was going to go out, because I specifically set it aside for that purpose. So that's using Tosas as chiluk lehalacha and explaining why the candle is going to be aser even after the flame goes out. Fine. So now bringing that over to two cases that you know I guess can arise. One of them will be.
Why do you call it gamru bidei adam? It's going to go out by itself. How's that bidei adam? That's natural. Like I thought gamru bidei adam with the burning pot means. Right. You can take you can pick up with your own hands and with two little hands and take the pot to the fire. But this here is burning out by itself. I certainly can't put the fire out.
Right, right.
Even if I didn't want the fire to be burning, let's say I didn't want it for Shabbos. There's five other candles. I don't need that candle. So,
right.
But I can't put it out. It's not gomro bideodam. Why is that gomro bideodam?
So I think if I remember correctly that that we saw that the crux of gomro bideodam is that I'm not going to be mesiach das from the object because I know that it's definitely going to become mutter, either because I can do some things in my own hands to make it mutter,
or
it'll happen by itself. Yeah. I feel like we saw that once upon a time. Where was that?
And it was more the other way, that it was more natural, such as the drying of the fruit, is what we saw. Right. So that if you know...
The fruit is going to dry.
If you know for sure the fruit's going to dry, but in general, you leave the fruit on the roof, you don't know the sun's going to come out, the sun's not going to come out. So that's why that's considered to be gamru bidei shamayim, because you have no way to determine that it's definitely going to dry. You know, if it's cold weather and it's not so sunny, it's not going to dry. So...
So that would be good. That would be something that either be naturally, or you do it with your own hands.
Yeah.
And also it would be something you don't necessarily want during that time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we're limiting. We're sufficiently, we're limiting Gamro Bidei Adam.
If you really want it to be, at that time, doing what it's doing, then it is.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we're saying. Right. Fine. So the question that the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was addressing here in source 3 is refrigerators that work by when you open the door and the temperature rises, because now hot air goes into the fridge, so that turns on a motor to cool down the fridge again. So that's what he was addressing. So how is that relevant to our case? So we'll see. So Shlomo Zalman says, "Besocha mekarer nimtza mechal katan shal gas misuyam." So you have like a little container, some type of receptacle, which is holding this gas. Hamechubar, skipping the parentheses, hamechubar al yedei tzinor dak lemapuach, which is connected to a small tube to some type of balloon, something which is inflatable. Ha'asui mechomer gamish, which is made out of some material which is flexible somehow. And kasher ha'temperatura shebimekarer ola, when the temperature in the fridge rises, so mispashet gas, so that causes the gas to spread out, to expand. Uve hispashduso, and by expanding, hu gorem hispashdus hamapuach, that causes this like balloon to expand. And hispashduso goremes l'skiras ma'gal chashmari, by this balloon expanding, so that closes a circuit. Ayedezesh and notzer maga ben shtei nekudos ha'maga shal ha'mafsak ha'chashmari, that connects like two sides. The balloon expanded, and now I guess you have some type of, I assume you have some type of metal tip on either side of the balloon, and that connects the circuit after it expands. And then rak az yochol hamanoa shel mechonas hakirur v'haskel b'avodoso, and then the motor of the fridge turns on to cool down the fridge. So that's how the fridge works. So Shlomo Zalman says, "Bram nira shem ninkot she'asur l'ftoach asa mekarer b'shash hamanoa shoves v'eino oved." If you say that it's usher to open up the fridge when the motor is not running. Now, later on, he's going to say that he believes that it's mutter to open the fridge even when the motor is not running, even though by doing so, it's going to cause the motor to go on. He will say that later. But at this point, he's assuming that, he's saying, if you run with the assumption that it's usher to open the fridge when the motor is off, because by doing so, you're going to cause the motor to go on, mishum iser gram malacha, because you're causing a malacha, it's true, it's indirect, but you're still causing a malacha, the usher shall open makom hafsid. So yesh lodon imibein hashmashos shel erev Shabbos hayanach, if during bein hashmashos, so the motor was off, so then she asur l'poskel b'chol haShabbos, so then you're not going to be allowed to open up the fridge the entire Shabbos if the motor was off bein hashmashos. Gam b'shasho oved, even if you catch a time when the motor is running, it's still going to be asur. Mishum tamo demigo diskatzoyer bein hashmashos diskatzoyer kol yoma. Since during bein hashmashos it was mukta and I couldn't open the fridge because by doing so I would turn on the motor, so then it's asur all day. Va'asur afal pisha psicha he kamo etzor gufo makomo, even though opening up the fridge door is like using a mukta object, so to speak, for, you know, etzor gufo or makomo, still it would be asur kevan shebevein hashmashos haya asur gam etzor gufo makomo. Because since I wasn't allowed to open the fridge door at all, even etzor gufo makomo during bein hashmashos, that degree of chumra applies then for the rest of Shabbos. U'memeila minan migo diskatzoi. It's obvious that just like migo diskatzoi would apply to aser moving the entire kli, it also would apply to moving part of the kli, meaning to opening the door. So ulam b'makom acher kasavnu d'mashechilku b'gemara beitzach of zayin amaralef ar gemara ben gamro bidei adam and gamro bidei shemayim. So this distinction, v'amru shem gamro bidei adam inanu omre migo diskatzoi, that if gamro bidei adam, so then we wouldn't say migo diskatzoi. And then he goes on to explain what we were just talking about, that ein kavanasam roma, they don't mean to say sheba'ofen sheyesh biyad ha'adam lasos maseh or gamro. We don't mean to say that it's better if I have to actively do something. Gamro bidei adam, I have to actively do something. We don't mean to say that that's better than if it would be solved automatically bidei shemayim without any, you know, effort. The ipchum is davar, the opposite makes sense. Umar makum shemachusar maase lo naase mukta. If it doesn't become mukta when I need to actively bidei adam do something, so then certainly it should be mutter if I don't even have to do anything to make it usable. And having to wait a certain period of time, which is the case here with the fridge, you have to wait for the motor, that's not considered to be requiring an active mass. I mean, here waiting for the fridge is something that happens, waiting for the motor to turn on and allow me to open the door is something that happens automatically. I don't have to do anything for that. But that's not the distinction that Chazal mean to say. That if something is bidei shamayim and it's not clearly going to happen, like the fruits on the roof, the raisins on the roof, and the figs on the roof, which are dependent on the sun to dry, then it becomes muktzah. Whatever. So then he asks the question from that. But so he says that the reason why I can open the fridge, even though I couldn't open it bein hashmoshos, is because it's considered to be gun lo bidei adam. Because even though I don't have to do anything actively, since I know that at some point the motor in the fridge is going to turn on, so I expect it to turn on, and therefore it's mutter. Then just to close up his tshuva, even though it's a very long tshuva, so I skipped a lot of parts of it, but just before giving off the wrong idea, he says at the end, atan nevoyer deranius daiti nirash agam b'shar shahamanoa shoveis, even when the motor is off, in rach shosh klau shayidea psicha nichnas achom umaktim hafaras hamanoa, you don't need to be concerned that when you open up the door, the motor is going to turn on. So he says that it's mutter to open up the fridge, even ben hashmashos, and he thinks that that's not a problem. But he says that what's relevant for us is that even if you were to say that that's a problem causing the motor to go on by opening the fridge, you wouldn't have to be concerned that if it was aser ben hashmashos because the motor was off then it would be aser all day. That's not a problem because it's gamro bidei adam. So there are two different ways that if one wanted to dispute that idea of Rav Shlomo Zalman, there are two different ways that one could dispute that. The first way is based on the Kovetz Shurim. The Kovetz Shurim says here in source 4, he asks a question. We have a principle that we don't say Migo Diskatsoi Rebein Ashmashos when something is only Muktzah during Bein Ashmashos because it was Muktzah the previous day. So let's say you have 2 days of Yontif back to back. So the first day of Yontif, something is Muktzah. So let's say you have Sukkot going into Shabbos. So the last day of Sukkot, so the Esrog is Muktzah, because it was designated to be used as an Esrog for the mitzvah of Esrog, and therefore it's Muktzah to be used for, it can't be used for other purposes. Muktzah, Machmas, Mitzvah, whatever, that's an interesting case of Muktzah, but it's Muktzah, Machmas, Mitzvah, it's designated for the mitzvah of Esrog, you can't use it for something else. Now comes along Shabbos after Sukkot. So do we say that since it was Muktzah the last day of Sukkot, and therefore it was also Muktzah the Bein HaShmashos on the last day of Sukkot, because it might still have been day, so now it's going to be mukta for the entire next day for all Shabbos, because Migo Diskatzoi Rebein Hashmashos. So the idea is, we don't say Migo Diskatzoi Rebein Hashmashos if the only reason why it's mukta during Bein Hashmashos is because it was mukta the previous day. That's a principle in the Gemara. We don't say Migo Diskatzoi Rebein Hashmashos if it's just mukta machmas yom she'avar. So the question that Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman asks is, why do you need this whole fancy principle that you don't say Migo Diskatzoi if it's just Muktza Machmas Yom She'avar? There's a much better reason why it's not Muktza. It's not Muktza because it's Gamro Bidei Adam. Because I know during Bein Hashmashos that as soon as this day ends and the next day begins, the Shabbos following Sukkot begins, it's going to be Mutter, because Sukkot will be over. So who needs a fancy principle? Just say that it's Gamro Bidei Adam. And that's why it's Mutter. So Rav Chanan Wasserman says, I'm skipping to the third line here, the third word on the third line, "Didavka hecha shehadavar mutter," when you have something which is halachically mutter, it just practically is not usable. It's muktzah because it's practically not usable. Then mahani tama de gamro bidei adam. Then comes along the svara of gamro bidei adam, and we say that it's mutter, even though practically it's not usable now, since you can make it usable, so it's going to be mutter. Aval imu be'emes iser, lo mahani mash yodeya shehe nitaracha ben hashmashos. If something is usher for halachic reasons, not just that it's practically unusable, but if it's usher for halachic reasons, so even though I know it's going to become mutter, that doesn't help to make it mutter. We don't apply the principle of gamro bidei adam in such a case. So by our case of esrog, so it's muktzah during Bein Hashmashos, the last day of Sukkot, going into that Shabbos, it's muktzah because we think it still might be Sukkot. So we have this principle that we don't extend that muktzah to Shabbos because it's muktzah machmas yom she'avar, we don't say migo diskatzoi. Rav Elchanan asked, why don't we say that it's going to be mutter anyways because it's gamro bidei adam? I know after Bein Hashmashos it's going to go back to being mutter. Answers Rav Elchanan that we don't apply the principle of gamro bidei adam when the reason why it's aser during Bein Hashmashos is because it's halachically aser. We only apply gamro bidei adam if it was muktzah because it was practically unusable. But if it's muktzah, not because it's practically unusable, but because it's halachically aser, then we wouldn't apply the principle of gamro bidei adam. So if you take that back to Rav Shlomo Zalman's case of the fridge, so the fridge, I can't open the fridge during, I mean, Rav Shlomo Zalman again concludes with the, you know, a complicated second half of this tshuva that he thinks it's mutter to open the fridge. But even if you were to say that it's usher to open the fridge during Ben Hashmashos, Rav Shlomo Zalman says you can still open it after Ben Hashmashos. According to Rav Chanan Wasserman, that probably would not be the case. Because the reason why you can open it during Ben Hashmashos, the reason why you can't open it during Ben Hashmashos is not because it's practically unusable, it's because there's a halachic isser of opening it during Ben Hashmashos, and that you're going to cause the motor to start to run. So when it's muktzah during Ben Hashmashos for that halachic reason, so then we wouldn't apply Gamro Bidei Adam. So the Kovetz Shurim would presumably disagree with that point in Rav Shlomo Zalman. The other reason why one might disagree with Rav Shlomo Zalman is based on where we started today. That we said that Gamro Bidei Adam, the Kuvah of Gamro Bidei Adam, doesn't apply in a case where you specifically set something aside for a specific Mukta reason. So, actually, the way I phrase it now is a poor way to phrase it, because that's already going to be the Orchel Shabbos' answer. So let's take a step back. When we read that distinction in Tosfos, the Tosfos and Shabbos, about when we don't apply Gamro Bidei Adam, so Tosfos used the word Ritzono. So just going back to the Tosfos inside again, the last two lines of Tosfos on the first short, on the first line, in the first source, V'yesh lomar d'shani k'deiros im ha'vatzarech u'ben ha'shmashos ha'yem ha'karon. V'chein puvim v'adoshim ritzono sheyes bashul b'roshum dichui aval hacha ritzono haya sheyavu ha'efrochen arasal shalakach kifa'al. So the way Tosis phrases it is that your ritzon was that the birds should be able to use the basket, that the basket should be designated for the birds. So the way we've been understanding that is that you were specifically miyafed the basket for the birds. But I think these are two different ways to say it. Is the reason why, again, we don't apply Gamro Bidei Adam by the case of the basket and the birds according to Tosfos and Shabbos. So why don't we apply Gamro Bidei Adam? There are two ways to say it. It could be because my ratzon is that the birds should be on the basket, or it could be that I was specifically miyafed the basket for the birds. Those are two different ways of saying it. Is it dependent on the fact that I specifically set it aside, I was miyafed it, or is it that ritzono, I wanted it to be, you know, to be that way? So a nafgamina between the two, in theory, could be this case of the refrigerator, meaning the motor is off during Ben Hashmashos. So I wasn't miyached anything in any way. That's something that happened automatically. But I do want the fridge. I mean, the reason why the fridge runs this way is because I don't want to use extra electricity. I don't want everything to freeze over by the motor running 24/7. I want the motor to be off at certain times and on at certain times. So in terms of my rut zone, I did want it to be that way, but I wasn't miyached it that way. So that, the Orchel Shabbos, presents a question on Rav Shlomo Zalman based on the understanding that it's all dependent on my rut zone, and answers that it's all dependent based on what I'm miyached. And he says like this, starting from V'yesh Hikshu Alav, Midivrei HaTosfos B'Shabbos Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph Hanal, De'ein Lomar Kan Svara, De'gomro Bidei Adam, Kevan She'Adam Mi'unyan, the person is interested, She'Bizmanim Misuyamim Ro'yavod HaMikarer. If you would ask me how I wanted my fridge to work, I want it to work exactly as it's manufactured. I want the motor to be off during Ben Hashmashos if the temperature in the fridge is such that warrants for the motor to be off. So I wanted it to be off. So because of that, there are those who argue on Rav Shlomo Zalman, says the Orchel Shabbos, there are those who argue on Rav Shlomo Zalman and say that how can you apply Gamro Bidei, the Kula of Gamro Bidei Adam in this case? We shouldn't apply the Kula because, like Tosfos says, that when I'm interested in it being, you know, specifically in this way, like I'm interested in the basket serving the birds, so then it's muktzah. So the Orchel Shabbos answers, V'chora ein zo kushya. It's not really a question. Sharei gavi mikarer lo yid ha'adam es adeles v'zman bein hashmashos liyos asura b'psicha. I didn't designate the door to be muktzah during bein hashmashos. Ela shebi mikre lo pa'al azamano. It just didn't happen to be, the motor didn't happen to be on then. V'lachein aminam bazeh svara de gomro bidei adam av shenicha ra'isha mikarer yishbos li'itim mizumanos. Even though I want the motor to be off at certain times, I wasn't miyached it. So whether or not you hold like the Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Orchel Shabbos who defends Rav Shlomo Zalman, or you hold like those who question Rav Shlomo Zalman, depends on how you read his Tosfos. When do we not apply Gom Rabbi De Adam? Is it when I'm mi'unyan for it to be serving a different purpose? I'm interested in it to be serving a different purpose? Or is it that I was specifically miyachid it to be serving a different purpose? The fridge, I'm interested in the motor being off. I want it to work the way it's supposed to based on the temperature in the fridge. But I wasn't miyachid it for that, and that's why... and that's why it wouldn't be a problem. Just to skip the rest of that, just to get down to the last piece here, the alarm on the Aron, which we started with at the beginning. So he says here, still within this piece of the photocopy, before turning on to the next page, he says, Devas Aron Kodesh HaMichuberes La'azaka. So you have the door of the Aron Kodesh, which is attached to us to a siren. Umuskan Basha'on Shabbat, so you have a Shabbos clock. HaMenatekes HaDevas Me'azaka B'Shas HaTfios. The Shabbos clock is set, the timer is set, so that the timer should turn off the alarm at the time that you plan on opening up the aron during davening, abba boker, during right in the morning for davening, kadesh yuchu lahotzi a sefer haTorah. So you'll be able to take out the sefer Torah. So nirash mutar liftoach as hadelas, you're allowed to open the door. Afin bizman ben hashmashos haisa hadelas mechuberes vazaka. Even though the siren was connected during ben hashmashos and I couldn't open the door during ben hashmashos, it's still mutter to open it at shacharis once the timer turns off the alarm. We don't say migo diskatzai because it's gom robi de'adam. I expected the alarm to be turned off by the timer. The aims that don't have a toast was daf mem gimel and aleph that we saw gabe yefrochim the gom rinan baze gom robi de'adam. It's not like the toast who says that we don't apply gom robi de'adam. Mishum dehasam. Now listen to the way he says it. It's interesting. Mishum dehasam hayam mi'unyan b'davka shebizman bein hashmashos. All of a sudden, Orchos Shabbos has changed the way he's phrasing it. Before, he said it was all dependent on how you're miyached it. Now, all of a sudden, he's switching to what you're interested in. But in this case, even if you're going to say it depends on what you're interested in, it's still okay. Because here, Mashein Kein Hacha, She'en Le Gaboyim Tzorech, She'adera Se'en Mechuberes, Razakov Is Ban Meinash Moshos. Here, the Gaboyim are not even interested in the alarm being attached and on during Meinash Moshos. Kevan She'bishah Zo, Nim Tzatzibur, B'Veis HaKnesses, because everyone's in shul. You only need an alarm on Yom Kodesh when no one's in shul. During Meinash Moshos, everyone's in shul, Lavin Mincha, Kabbalah Shabbos Meriv. So there, even if you're going to say, learn Tosfos, that it's all depending on what, it's all dependent on what you're interested in, here, you're not even interested in the alarm being attached during Benash Moshos, because everyone's in shul, no one can come and steal the Sefer Torah anyways. So I thought those were two interesting applications of a machokes between our Tosfos in Beitza, who says that the case of the Afrochim is Gom Rubi De Adam, and Tosfos in Shabbos, which says the case of the Afrochim is not Gom Rubi De Adam. So even within the Tosfos and Shabbos, there are two different ways to understand it, and they have nafkaminas when it comes to the fridge and when it comes to the alarm on the Aron Kodesh.